He was watching.
He was watching by the shore of the Jordan and chose this moment to give himself over to John's baptism.
It was a baptism of repentance, of renewal, and not a little fire and anger. And Jesus chose to offer himself to John's fiery preaching and angry prophecy against the institutional religion makers who stood watching all this happen. He chose to commit himself to this brand of God.
So Jesus found himself on the edge of the Jordan and chose this moment and this means as the time and way to make himself known. He moved through the crowds towards the river and kept going till he was side by side with John.
John hesitated, his hoarse voice silenced for a moment, his stoop straightened. The crowds noticed this change. Something had just happened, and they weren't very sure what it was. So they fell silent themselves and waited.
Crowds have good intuition. They sense when two different worlds come together. They feel it when there is a paradox, when two time zones clash, two eras converge. An old world prophecy and expectation and a new world of salvation fulfilled.
And so they hushed to see what would happen, and very little did, for a while. Jesus stood there, and so did John, as if both were reading each other's thoughts. It takes a while for the balance to be found again when the fiery preaching of a prophet comes face to face with the one the prophecy is about.
It's a dangerous time. It's a bit chaotic. A theology crunch, a paradox principle.
For now, let it be for now, Jesus says, for now, this time, the time has come. This is the way one era slides into another. The water becomes a border, and Jesus fell back with John holding him into the water and went under. And the water covered him, filled in his place, smoothed out the disturbance, calmed the disturbance.
But then Jesus broke through and a new era was born. The chaos began, and the throwing back of water and the Saviour coming through. Ripples became waves that spread across this new time. Flooding became rapids that caused ripples of light through the universe, and the sharp intake of breath as the Saviour rose from the water became the symbol of resurrection, of tombs, of graves and of crosses, defeated.
And when one era takes over from another, the balance is undone once more and causes disruption through the continuum. The border has been crossed. The water has been broken through. So great is the clash that when prophet gives way to Saviour, all heavens feel it.
And so it burst open with a great rending, mirrored in the water of the river, and justice fell down into the world and came with comfort and anger, with challenge too. Along with kindness, there was peace and grace and truth also. All fell from the sky in the echo of a dove who spread her wings with slow beauty and purpose, as if she was the muse herself.
And in this wilderness place, beyond the cities and the synagogues and temples and churches, the two ages moved past each other. One fell away, the other rose. This was salvation's time.
The disruption felt from the first baptism had just begun. The border had been crossed.
As I suggested with the children, today we are thinking about water, about its usefulness, its uniqueness, its beauty, its power, its significance in our lives and in our world. Pam and Chris and Carol have brought you a theological reflection on the place of water in our spiritual life. And you will, I'm sure, have noticed that water featured in both the readings that we heard today. In the Old Testament reading, God's breath, God's word comes together to bring life from water. Over the dark, chaotic waters of the deep nestles the breath of God. And suddenly God speaks and chaos and nothingness is transformed into something that is life-giving and good. God calls all creation, all that is, into being. And God declares that all that has been created is good. As the story of creation continues, there is the constant refrain, and God saw that it was good. Light, the solid ground, the water, the universe beyond, living creatures, human beings, and God saw everything God has made, and indeed, it was very good. It's not just God's breath in the world that is good. It's not just God's voice that is good, but all that is created, including us. God finds pleasure in what God has made, and we are invited to find pleasure in this world, in this creation too. In the creation stories, we are told over and over again that this world is valued, and so we are called to value it too. This world is infused with God's breath or spirit, God's presence, and there is no honouring God without honouring the world God has breathed and spoken into being. And that includes the water that is part of it. It is the stuff of this world that we hear about in the story of Jesus' baptism. It's not just about the sky being ripped open and the spirit descending, the voice from beyond this world, making the profane things temporarily holy. It is about things such as the water of this world, the water of this world through which all of creation came to be. It's about water being the stuff that reminds us of God's presence in creation. There are many echoes of creation in the story of Jesus' baptism. Once again, the Spirit of God and God's voice move over the water. Once again, the life of God is intermingled with human life. And God's verdict is announced, and God is pleased. God is pleased with this intermingling, seen so clearly in Jesus. You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Mark's Gospel also starts with an echo of the creation story. Mark's Gospel starts off, "This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ." And after a short introduction to John the Baptizer and his call of transformation, his call to people to enter into new relationship with God and each other, we move quickly into the water, into Jesus' baptism, which is then immediately followed by his experience of temptation in the wilderness. When Jesus decides to step into the water, he also steps into a life of commitment to living out God's vision of peace and justice and compassion. So the story of Jesus' baptism combines both human and divine intention. Jesus' baptism in the waters of Jordan is an affirmation of God's absolute intention to be present in our living. Present even when our lives feel chaotic and empty. Present when our lives need transformation. Present when we are about to find ourselves in the desert, when we need to decide who we are and what our lives will be about. And our baptism is also about intention. It's an affirmation of our intention to allow our lives to be intermingled with the divine approach to creation and the divine priorities for our world. Baptism is not some magical ritual that saves us from a future hell, but a declaration of the reality in which we live, the reality of divine grace. It's a declaration that we are ready to enter into ministry in this world in the way that allows us to live out our true identity. Creation is not a once and for all event that happened at the beginning of time. God's creative activity continues around us and even through us all the time. Neither is our baptism a once and for all event. Yes, we are only baptized once, but our baptism is an ongoing invitation to continue to recognize God's presence in every moment of our lives. An invitation to grow into our identity of beloved. An invitation to continue to participate in God's vision. And at the heart of baptism is water. Water that is good. Good for many things. It sustains our life from our conception through all our stages of growth. And water reminds us that we belong to God, that our lives and what we do matter to God, that we have given our lives over to proclaiming the good news of God's justice and peace and acceptance and compassion, given our lives to proclaiming the good news in word and deed. Baptism begins as a declaration of who we are, of who we are in God, beloved. But it is never just about us. It's about us being good news to all creation. At the same time, water can also be a reminder to us of how our world falls short of the divine vision, how much it needs this good news to be shared. I'm sure we're all familiar with facts such as our bodies are about 70% water. Well, that's true by the time we're adults. Apparently, as babies, our bodies are about 80% water. I'm sure many of us here would know the fact that over 70% of the Earth's surface is covered with water. But did you know even more water is stored in underground aquifers than is seen on the surface of the Earth? And there is no new water. Water is continually recycled. And one of the sites I was looking at to check my facts on this, one of the sites for children, one of the facts that it gives is the water we drink is the same water as the dinosaurs drank. But there are other water facts. Facts that are confronting and alarming. Facts such as over 1 billion people in the world do not have access to safe drinking water. That's more than 1/6 of the world's population. Over 2 million people in developing countries, most of them children, die every year from diseases associated with lack of access to safe drinking water, inadequate sanitation, and poor hygiene. And this one really floored me, I didn't realise this. Half of the world's hospital beds are filled with people suffering from water-related illnesses. In the past 10 years, diarrhoea has killed more children than all the people lost to armed conflict since World War II. In many countries, the water problem is the primary reason people are unable to rise out of poverty. Women and children bear the burden disproportionately, often spending 6 hours or more each day fetching water for their families and communities, time that is taken from education or from producing food or earning income. And spending money on providing safe, clean water brings really good returns. Some estimate that for every dollar spent in Africa on water projects, there is a result of $9 in increased productivity and reduced health costs. And the overall cost of providing safe water to all the world's people is estimated to be less than that which is spent on bottled water in 1 year. Other water facts may remind us of the sad state of too many of the world's waterways. Waterways that are depleted, contaminated or polluted by careless use of water and disposal of waste. And the effect of rising global temperature is seen in changing water levels and the decrease in the ice fields. And once again, this burden seems to fall disproportionately and is most threatening to some of the world's most vulnerable people. To be reminded of our baptism is to be reminded of our commitment to the world that is created and sustained by a God of justice. To be reminded of our baptism is to be reminded of our connection to the one who came to invite us to be part of God's life, God's good news. So we cannot be reminded of baptism without being reminded, without remembering the place of water in our lives physically and spiritually. Using water becomes not just about its utility, its usefulness to us in growing our food, keeping us clean and quenching our thirst. It's also about its spiritual significance, a reminder to us of the divine vision for the world and our immersion and involvement in that vision. It surely then becomes impossible for us, as people who have baptism at the heart of our identity, to not be concerned about the way we use and affect water, individually, as a community, and as a country. Careful use of water becomes for us a spiritual practice, supporting sound environmental practice by the industry and agriculture and domestic users is a way of living out God's vision. Now, I'm not going to give you a how-to list of saving water. I'm sure that there is combined wisdom here amongst us that would be interesting to hear, and perhaps that's something you can talk about over morning tea. But I am going to encourage you to keep thinking about this, thinking about water and how it can be part of our discipleship. Today we're thinking about water, about its usefulness, its uniqueness, its beauty, its power, its significance in our lives and in our world. Today we are thinking about water and its power to claim us as God's own, its power to make us partners with God in the ongoing work of creating a world that can be called good and be filled with good news. Today we are thinking about water and how it connects us to all of creation, to all people, and to the one who called us into being. May you continue to think about water as a symbol of being blessed and called, as a way of reminding ourselves to live as people of justice and compassion. Let us continue to think about water as we sing our next song, In Water We Grow.